So here we go. Welcome to This Black Girl Podcast. I am one half of your co-host. I go by the name of Lola. You can find me on Instagram at ola.miss.lola.
And I am the other half of your lovely host. I am at The Hill Diva on Instagram, but you could just refer to me as Miss Hill Diva. And today we are so excited to present one of our wonderful guests, Mr. Matt, also the host of a podcast, Free Matt. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
I go by Matt Free Matt. The Free Matt podcast, self-styled libertarian, say roundtable discussion. I'm quite often alone without my esteemed colleague, but I do talk about, we talk about libertarian issues. We talk some politics. I do delve into personal issues, mostly regarding men, some things between the sexes, but outside of that, sometimes we can go all over.
I love that. Wonderful. Because that's usually us. We're everywhere. Here, there, up, down, sideways, backwards, forwards. So we'll just jump into the main theme. We're obviously discussing dating and relationships. And I am in a relationship. My co-host, she is single. So we have two different types of perspectives. But I just want to get your insight or your experience of the dating landscape. Just because we've kind of find it a little messy. We find men sometimes don't have the emotional intelligence to maybe understand what women want, or, you know, there's manipulation and playing women for pussy and all of this stuff. So like, what was your impression, I guess, of the dating scene when you participate in it?
Yes. My vision has been, it's been shaped by a relatively strong background. I had two parents that are still together today. It's sad I can say they're senior citizens. They grew up in a church-going family, had brothers and sisters. A handful of my friends still had both parents together. Our experience in the church had, for the most part, shaped, tradcon, if that's a decent term, and my vision of how things were, I want to say it was set in stone, but it was almost stereotyped.
Okay.
And this is me looking back, and you're more or less programmed to think, okay, you know, here's your flowers, you know, we love each other, okay, let's go get married, have family. And the irony is, by the time I would say I was 18, I joined the military.
Okay.
I traveled over, when leaving home it was a pretty much an adventure when it came to relationships. I left home, and by the time I got out of boot camp, I had somebody I was seeing, mm-hmm. and it failed. It was the one good thing going on then. And a lot of these bad events shaped how I viewed life. I got kicked out of school for bad grades. I dated somebody who split up with me. I also got involved with somebody who was not very healthy, and she accused me of some, how about a level? She accused me of attempted rape.
Oh.
And yes.
Yeah.
And it never went to legal, but it helped shaped, I guess, I won't say a transformation, but a challenge in the way that I viewed relationships.
Okay.
You fast forward after that terrible time frame, and this was the summer and fall of 2000. I traveled. I got kicked out of school for bad grades, too. Let's get to have fun with that one. I went to a school in Virginia, and I was still in the military. These are training schools. Mm-hmm. And I met, didn't really have any serious relationships, but I met somebody who, it lit off really quick, and it was in a very bizarre situation. And this was just like the tip of the iceberg. I'll just call her Miss Jackson. She was named after, if y'all remember, Outkast.
Yep.
She was from the South, and just in the parlance of being from the South, just call her a black chick. She was cool. I liked her friends. She was intelligent. She talked to people well. She didn't fit stereotypes. And yes, I'm going to get a I hope y'all can ask me about stereotypes.
Of course, you know we will.
She met me at a weird time in my life, but I think we met each other at a weird times in our life. And I actually met her flirting with one of her friends who I used to just call her Nubian Princess. And she had an African last name. Like, it was a, there was a band with her last name in it. If I could say that, I don't want to, y'all can go dig and find it.
Fair enough. That's fine.
I guess her friends kind of found out, hey, this kind of kooky white dude, wanted to, he was talking about you. And So I ran into her and basically was chit-chat talk. I'm kind of a laid-back person, so that's kind of a challenge. But one of her friends found out, like, hey, I had mentioned about going on a date. We're going to set something up. Our schedule's somewhat the same. I went back to our housing where I ran into Miss Jackson and Nubian Princess. Well, she had several friends with her, and these people are, they're decent people in the military. I can't, say they're punks or anything. They're pretty cool, layback people. Mm-hmm. And yes, I'm probably one of the most white bread guys you're going to meet from where I'm from.
Right.
And I'm not Joe Cool. I'm not, I never ran the streets. I had friends that sold drugs, but it was never me. And I don't try to act cool, and most people know, just be authentic. Mm-hmm. One of her friends, who we'll call Peaches, named after, was it Low Down Dirty Shame? Jada Pinkett.
Yeah.
Short, same build, sassy. Okay. Peaches walks up to me and pulls my sleeve up. And I know y'all might not be able to see that well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, eagle.
Yeah, and it says live for your die. Well, what you don't know is this is a covered up tattoo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's the story, the plot thickens. And Peaches knew that I had gotten a tattoo, and I don't think Nubian Princess or Miss Jackson did. And Peaches goes, oh, I see what we got now. At the time, bear with me, it was a rebel flag. It was a Confederate flag.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, what was the, people used to say one of those snazzy sayings, like you like coffee and your cream or whatever the joke was.
Yeah.
And she's like, this doesn't add up, right? And I look, and there's the two gentlemen, they're probably 18, 19, pretty well put together dudes, happen to be of the black persuasion. And they're just staring daggers at me. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to get killed. And they just look at me and bust out laughing. And Peaches says, I think you're all right.
Wow.
Well, I can definitely figure like a situation like that being very, very kind of intimidating.
Yeah, very tense.
Yeah, because I'm not gonna lie, I've had a personal interaction where there was it was funny. I was talking to a Southern gentleman who was also white. He was from Georgia, but he was living in New York. And we would talk almost every day. He was like, really nice, church going guy. Definitely was with the faith. I love that about him, all of that stuff. But then one day I noticed that he had the Confederate flag like pinned up in his room, and I was like, like, I don't know, to me it just, it, because like I, it's like very conflicting, because I understand that like that flag is a lot of history and a lot of people, especially from the South, take a lot of pride in it, but then just knowing, I guess, the textbook history of what it was, like, I personally see that as like huge red flag, just because of just conflict of ideas or a conflict of opinion, you know?
100%.
I can imagine for yourself, especially at that time, that that was very intimidating, because it's different on a screen. You can be like, oh, okay, gotta go, bye. whereas like in person, like you're face to face, you know, things can either go one way or another. And I'm really happy that it went more of a positive understanding, open-minded way to go, for sure.
Exactly. And it's funny because I, now that Lola brought up that story, because I remember when Lola had that altercation, or well, not the, the situation arose where she saw this, and she told me over the
phone,
I was talking to a guy with, and there was a giant Confederate flag, but I didn't know what the hell it meant. And this is recent. This is like, was it like 2018, 2017? Like, this is fairly recent in terms of me being a grown woman. I was already a grown woman and I didn't even know what that flag meant. So she had to explain to me. And then once, like, I started watching a lot more American TV with, like, you know, the Trump administration, I started watching, like, what's going on, what it meant, you know, the BLM movement, all these things going on. I educated myself and realized, you know, what it meant for both sides. That's when I was like, oh, okay, like, that's why people don't like it. Certain people don't like it, certain people do. It means different things for different people. So
yeah,
for you, in your terms, I wanted to know, why did you get it covered up, your tattoo, and what prompted that? Like, was there like an aha moment for you where you realize, you know what, I just don't want this anymore? Or was it someone else pressuring you? Or how do you feel now? Like, what spawned that reaction?
You would be surprised. You would think it would have been, I was on a ship and obviously in close quarters with other people, probably 80 other guys. And yes, there's all sorts of jokes there, but I'm often in an stage of undress where these people are brothers to me, even to this day.
Yeah.
And they see me and you see the bad tattoo. And there's guys from, one guy I knew from my hometown, we call him Candyman, because he looks like the guy from Candyman. Okay. He's awesome.
Yeah.
And we got to be good friends to this day. I really wish I had him around. I love that dude. But, you know, they kind of knew that guys from the South, most of them had the tattoo, or even some, like, if y'all know anything about, like, the Norse religions stuff. Like, they're like runes or like little symbols stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People have that. And I never had a problem with the guys never, besides jokes, which is cool because we joke about it. And even one of my friends from New York kind of was like, you're kind of a hypocrite for wearing a Bob Marley t-shirt with a rebel flag tattoo. Please laugh.
I was gonna say, I'm like, they're not wrong.
The ideals there, yeah.
Right. Because, like, with me, the understanding, especially with the Confederate flag, like there's different aspects of, you know, other people's culture. Like, for example, Jamaican culture, like, my family's mostly from Jamaica. You know, there are certain symbols that represent the culture, which is, like, you know, obviously the Jamaican flag, you know, Bob Marley being an icon. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, the ganja leaf, you know, rum, things like there's different stuff that represent a culture, but it's not necessarily the person, right? So it's like, even though, you know, weed and hemp life is like super prominent, super prevalent for Jamaicans, that doesn't mean like I'm a pothead stoner that smokes weed all the time because I'm Jamaican. And whereas, like, I understand, at least now, that if somebody has a Confederate flag, whether it's like on their body, in their space or whatever, it's not necessarily synonymous with them having prejudice or anything like that. It's like a part of the culture. But at the same time, it's just like, unfortunately, that part of the culture also has, like, you know, offensive roots in it, which is kind of unfortunate.
It was one thing that I guess there was a diversion from the sheet heads and the guys on the horses and the Confederate ghost, you know, yeah. scaring you. Basically, that's they were terrorizing black people. I know that's what happened. The weird reason why me getting the tattoo covered up, it's ironic because it wasn't even black folks the reason why I had it covered up. And it's not that I, you know, obviously I have no animosity towards white people. Right. It was actually, and I'm trying to, can I just lay out some cuss words and stuff here?
Oh God, yes. We're this is a safe space for swear words.
In white culture, you have things like trailer trash. You have the term peckerwood. Some of the brothers that might have gone to prison might understand that.
Never heard of it.
It's like white trash. And yes, I got actually people mad at me when I actually spoke out against things like peckerwoods and trailer trash. I brought it up. I said, you espouse something akin to white supremacy. And I said, wouldn't you want to be the word supreme? And I said, so why do you have half illiterate meth-heads selling drugs to white people? And I got FUs the whole nine yards.
Wow.
And people, the thing is, I was never in a group. I was never, I never belonged to any revolutionary group or Confederate group. I'm bald from because of choice, because my hair's falling out.
Okay.
I'm not a skinhead. And the weird thing is that these people basically ruined something for people who were not, I'm not saying that the rebel flag was anything good, obviously, but people that were not being the peckerwoods and horrifically terrible like crackers that you see on TV. And I was like, it's embarrassing. And the thing is, I said, I don't want to be looped in with these people.
Right.
And it's, it's sad that I'm telling, you know, two black women that I don't want to be looped in with these people. That's why I had to get this covered up.
Right. Right. You don't want to be, I can relate to that in the sense of not wanting to be judged by your lowest common denominator. Yes. And that's a very common theme with racial relations, right? Like even right now with COVID, you know, a lot of Asian people are receiving a lot of racism and, you know, being blamed for the whole pandemic, and you know they're being judged by God knows what. You know what I mean?
Yeah, by just being Asian, really. By just being Asian, right? And by like to be honest, and like essentially that's the whole theme of this show. It's like this Black Girl Podcast is meant to dissect different aspects of being a Black woman, and not to just be a stereotype of what you expect essentially a Black woman to be. So we're open to exploring and examining, breaking out of different stereotypes. And so like, I appreciate that you wanted, not necessarily that you wanted to cover up because of that, but because you wanted to break away with the stereotype. Because unfortunately nowadays, especially with the rebel flag, like it's so synonymous with like that kind of impression of a white person that you see.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm an educated man. It took me a while, but I went back to school, and it's not an experience around liberals or conservatives that caused me to be that way. It's just most people I know that have gone through some, I use that term enlightenment, an enlightenment of sorts. It says it doesn't add up. And usually a position like that is it's out of ignorance, and it's at, a lot of people stick with it. And I said, it doesn't add up. And these people would not be comfortable around somebody like me. And I already know that.
Fair enough.
Well, I applaud you for coming on our show, because that's even brave to do anyway, right? Because it could be an uncomfortable experience talking about sensitive issues. But the fact that you could even come on a show and, you know, speak your piece, I definitely applaud that, because you're brave. Not many people can do that if they don't share the same beliefs, or if they don't know And I feel like that's the first step for everyone to have a better sense of consciousness of other people, because you have to get to know other people's backgrounds, their views, what paths they've walked in order to understand them. So I'm happy. I'm glad that you, you know, got that enlightening and covered that flag up, because you don't want to be judged. It sucks on one side, because it's like, you want to do what you want to do, right? You don't want to be judged. You want to, you know, you want to make it represent what you want it to represent. But when other people reassign stigma to something that you represent and you have, you know, it does kind of prompt you to make those choices. And I feel like you did the right thing in this day and age, for sure. Yeah.
And you had mentioned like stereotypes, and like growing up where I did, stereotypes are a disservice. Because when I actually go to meet, and I'll just say women, even, you know, Miss Jackson, you're almost programmed to look for stereotypes. Mm-hmm. And yes, the good or the bad, and honestly, it's in between, because people are people. And I went to go set up a date, and I'm like, okay, everything should be good. And I get back with her. And, the thing is that, I'm like, we set up a time, and, one of her friends comes up and says, hey, you know, something's wrong. And I'm like, okay, I'll go talk to her about it. I'm pretty straightforward. That's before I found out that people like to play games. Bear with me. She had to cancel our date, and I noticed that, and I'll have to explain little details, but on her uniform, she had a big red R on a badge, and the R standing for restricted. And a lot of people don't know what restricted is. Restricted, you got into minor trouble. It's nothing like big, but it means you can't go out. You can only go to the galley. You can only, which is like the place where we eat, the cafeteria.
Yeah.
We couldn't go. I was going to, you know, we're going to go out to a restaurant or something. I had money to blow. And well, we couldn't. I wanted to have a nice time first. That's it.
Right.
Like I tell people, I want to have a nice time. I literally just wanted to sit down and have a nice time. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't hurt me that bad. But of course I went to have a meal with her, but that's the only place we could go because she was restricted. Classroom, cafeteria, back to her place. And no, they guard the women's quarters. So there's no way I was getting in there. Okay.
So I want to ask, because we were talking about stereotypes and stuff, and you mentioned stereotypes and impressions, I guess, of Black women. I want to ask, because I've asked this before to like other people, to my own partner, all of this. What was, I guess, a stereotype that maybe you subconsciously expected from like interacting and dating with a Black woman that wasn't there and like that, like, I guess maybe caught you off guard or surprised you?
Overly, I was expecting an overwhelming urge on her part to start a fight or get physical.
Really?
There's a reason why. Mm-hmm. Because when I was in school, we had several different school districts, but most of them were blended. I mean, I knew where Black people lived. I knew Black people from all backgrounds. Right. I'm not a champion of anything. We just had people everywhere. And I rode the bus. I've, you know, walked to school the whole nine yards. But every once in a while, you saw they come from a big family. There's certain Black folks that we went to school with. They all come from a big family, and they're all interrelated. And it's another stereotype. But they always had people from their distant family that lived in another town not far from us. And these people show up to fight. Like the moms, the aunts, the daughters, cousins.
The mom, the aunt, the cousins.
They'll go to the hospital. They'll fight people at the hospital too.
What? Oh no, that's not right. Okay, so you kind of, that was going into it. You were like, oh my goodness, you know, what if this might happen? What if Granny shows up with a cane for you if you don't right?
Or one of her friends. That's what I mentioned, yeah.
Okay, I see. And so but
Miss Jackson and Peaches shows up ready to what were you gonna ask?
Yeah, no, I was gonna say, so how was she, like, in contrast to that? How did you find her in particular?
She was the mix of fun and her nonverbal skills. She was a decent listener, and she handled things well. Like, she didn't, like, jump on me or, like, get testy because people think I'm slow. I'm not. I'm deliberate. And the thing is, it's like she didn't get an angle on me because I'm deliberate with my words. And I liked that about her. It was completely different than other experiences.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, I have to ask the golden question. Hildiva knows. This is actually the one question that I ask all our guests so far. And the question being, in terms of, I guess, dating women just in general, doesn't matter whether it's white, black, Hispanic, Asian, whatever. What is, for yourself, a superficial preference? And when I say superficial, I just mean, like, somebody may argue it, but it's just, like, something that you like. Like, for example, like, I prefer my men to be very tall, and that's just because I'm a tall woman. Whereas some guys will say, like, I don't prefer, like, a more obese woman, or somebody said that they like women with, like, curves. So, like, what is your, I guess, superficial preference?
I jokingly, people know my background and I have to always lead with a joke. But somebody asked me that same kind of question, like, well, what's your favorite kind of woman? And I was like, if you knew anything about me, I'd always lead with the kind with a vagina. That was a joke. And all right, got that out of the way. Here's the weird thing. I've been, because of my travels and people I've known, folks from different backgrounds, I've never been stuck in one little area. I travel around a decent amount. I don't ever know that I ever, like, had one preference. And that's the weird thing. Even though my girlfriends were kind of in one area, and I guess it was subconscious, but I mean, like, women I've been around or have been exposed to that were, like, my favorite. Some of the most fun were either redheads or Colombians, like Colombian chicks. And
like Hispanic?
Yeah.
Colombia.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Okay, that's different.
I was actually born in Colombia, so love it. Love hearing it. So would that be your kind of superficial thing? Like, you like red hair and you like kind of, I guess, Latinas?
I it's sad because I find something good in, and I'm not one of these, like a simp or anything. And people, like, you know, try and pull my card. I like something out of most women I've met. Like, you have to give me something, a reason to not like you. And it's not because I'm, like, you know, like, thirsty. It's not that at all. It's just I find qualities, and I couldn't just narrow down one thing. It's weird because I was like, I've met unattractive women that treated me like I wanted to be treated. Exactly. And I couldn't throw them away. Like, I felt like, I was like, look, they're genteel, and they you could tell they were like, okay, they know how to make a man, like, feel like one. And yeah, I've obviously attractive women, knockouts, women I knew overseas, Colombian women with derrieres you could bounce quarters off of. I mean,
you got them all.
I almost said Texas Bells, girls I met from Texas that were Texas and Louisiana, even though Louisiana women are crazy, but
that's what they say. I don't know.
They're loving.
Louisiana.
That's so funny.
Now, are you a boob guy or a butt guy?
Oh, Lord. Man, that's tough. I'd say probably 51% for the rear end.
Okay. Wow, really? I'm shocked. I'm so shocked because I feel like the boobs were like the pièce de résistance for so long for a lot of men. And like recently, the butt just made a full like wave.
Full comeback.
Yeah, a big comeback.
Art was behind the reason why the cleavage was a big thing in European influence in art. Mm-hmm. Serious. Okay. That's the bountiful harvest was
just like
that's exactly it. And that was why people from European descent it had that big of an influence. But if you look at like Afro-Cubano and there's people from, I say like Brazil and stuff, it's funny because it's the derriere that like, it's weird. My source is, I'm going to go to hell for this one, but Pornhub. They put it in the news. I got it out. They put it in the news. And it, you could tell country to country and how it kind of skewed. And it really was, European descent men who, the top half, and most of the rest of the world, except for like Japan, wanted the bottom half. And
yeah, it's making a wave. It's making a wave. Soon, one day, Europe will want butts too. Don't worry, they're just way behind the curve.
Well, with that being said, okay, so my question to you now is, we talked about the preferences, superficial and not, but like, what would then be your absolute deal breakers? That if a girl came to the table and was like, I have this, that you're like, nope, can't do it. Because you just said like, a woman would have to proactively find a way for you to dislike her. So what would be those deal breakers?
There's some cultural issues. There's some starters, what I call non-starters. Okay. Oh Lord. Getting flustered.
Don't worry.
Things like, there's some things that are really hard to get past, like social issues. I'm not a huge fan of abortion, and you can get past it if I knew that the person felt like they worked through it and they got help and stuff like that. It's a touchy subject for women too. And it's something that you can grow from. And I felt like if you couldn't grow or you weren't growing from it, that it grow from, it's a that's a bad term, but you see what I'm getting at. It's not, if you have a cavalier attitude about it, I kind of feel it's kind of an excluder.
Okay,
so you wouldn't like me then?
I'm not throwing rocks. I'm not throwing rocks.
I'm joking with you. I'm not. Yeah.
No, but
is that something quickly? Sorry, is that something that you would discuss with a woman beforehand? Like you know, you're on a date, or you kind of wait for it to like come up naturally for that to be something, a deal breaker for you.
It's more like a third date type thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because it's nothing like I would ever expect anybody to throw. And I to be honest, I probably wouldn't bring it up because that kind of stuff, like the flow of conversation and a natural progression, people get when they're serious about each other and not just hooking up. I was like, I hate to say the horn dog inside of you will say, hey, she's a Thursday. And I know, like you had mentioned about, we're talking about not pickup artists, but you're talking about guys that are just running game and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I hate to say there's certain things that it's kind of like a gate to relationships or just physicality. And to be honest with you, I think that if they had an understanding and they weren't looking for a relationship and they were just, hey, let's go have fun. Okay. But if they were looking for a relationship, and I'd say, I just tell them I'm not comfortable, and that's the best way I could describe that. There's some other things that really, I guess, kind of get in the way, like long-term relationship, your views about family, and in the long run, if y'all don't come to a consensus, and there's a reason why I mentioned a consensus and not overruling, is religion. Because I don't think that if y'all don't have a consensus or you don't match up to begin with, you're going to be fighting each other, even on like a almost a subdermal level, deep down.
That's fair.
I will say
that experiences now, especially on dating apps, some apps, like in particular, an app that I was using was called Hinge. And so they list, like, not your whole bio or anything like that, but it lists across like basic stats. So you could include like your height, your location, your profession, whether you smoke or drink, if you're comfortable with people smoking drugs, and if you either have kids, want kids, or don't want kids. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's definitely something that's kind of like, it's like a nice way to kind of put that on the table so that you don't meet somebody, you guys kind of hit it off, you get into a relationship, and when things become more serious and things like family planning and stuff like that gets involved, you don't feel like you're at a crossroads to be like, if a girl's like, oh, well, I don't feel like ever having kids, and the guy's like, well, like, I really want a family, or vice versa. Mm. You don't feel conflicted, like, do I continue this relationship hoping they would change, or do I leave this relationship when I'm mostly happy with this one thing? Like, I find it's a nice way to kind of get it out of the way. Like, I met my partner on that platform, and he personally listed that, like, he doesn't have any kids and he doesn't want any kids. So that ended up being a talking point, I think, on like our second date. And not because like I was interested in having like any, like, I already have one child, I'm not necessarily interested in having another, but it was a good talking point to be like, well, why do you think that way? This is my experience. And it kind of became more of a comfortable way to talk about it without it feeling like, does this man want to impregnate me? Like, you
know? Yes.
So I guess I found it more of a, I guess, safer way to talk about it without it feeling like a thing. Because if, I don't know, if like, for example, you and I went out on a date and I was just like, oh, well, I'm not ready to have children. And if I have one, if we get pregnant, like, I might have an abortion. And you're like, I'm firmly against that, to be honest. It kind of just sets the tone to be like, okay, knowing this, I'm going to make the responsible decision to possibly like not go on another date. Or, you know, let's just stay friends because we agree that we don't agree. I like you, but we don't agree on the stance. So let's make the responsible decision to just be friends and just get along on that level.
Yeah, I'm curious. Okay, keep going, sir.
Oh, I was going to say that's actually a good thing. Yeah, through my personal experience, and I had, I don't want to say who this person was, but somebody I dated, I use in quotations, I'm being nice.
Okay.
Basically was cavalier my views. And if I would have known that they had that strong of an opposition to my views, I probably would have not taken it. I probably would have just, you know, talked to him and say, I wish you well, but.
Right.
Yeah, right. I was going to ask, have you delved into online dating at all? I know a lot of people have, some people prefer in person, you know, so I'm just curious if that was something that you ever considered or would consider, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
I'm going to embarrass myself and date myself. All right. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of Yahoo Personals.
I have heard of it, but on like the tail end. I can personally say
no, that. I haven't.
I remember hearing about it. I remember a story about how they closed that.
The last time, the predecessor before, all right, you didn't have any apps on a cell phone. Most of our cell phones could not even get SMS texting.
Okay, all right.
Back then.
The thing is, I had some experience, but I actually had to cancel a date with somebody because I got off the market. And my friends, on the other hand, have had disappointing results. Maybe one or two guys that I know of that have actually had decent results, didn't lead to like Chuck Woolery's love connection. I was like, I hope y'all, somebody out there has seen that. That was one of the awesome that before internet dating, there was a dating television show called The Love Connection with Chuck Woolery. Navy man, by the way. And they would get a guy and a woman and three guys. Yeah. And I think they went on a date and the people in the audience would vote who they liked. And, and it was like perverse. Like you're watching like a potential train wreck.
Yeah,
it's like that rubbernecking when you see like a bad accident, and you're like, what's over there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so I do remember Love Connection. And then I remember because Hildiva brought up earlier in a different episode the Jenny Jones and like Sally Jesse Raphael, where like they'll occasionally have like their dating game and be like, my name's Samantha. And I'm 23 years old, and I'm a student at NYU, and I'm looking to meet Mr. Ray. And they'll have like three different guys, and sometimes one will be like super handsome, one will be like super ugly, and one will be like kind of average in the middle. And sometimes like the girl will pick the super handsome one and then find out he's like unemployed, broke, young. And then the older one would be like, I'm actually self-made multimillionaire and I own this company. And then you see her shocked face and everyone's like, oh my god.
Those were funny. But I was gonna ask you, so in terms of dating and relationships, when we talk about like apps and stuff like that and like the fast food world that we're in today, for you, since you're more old school, you're more traditional, when do you consider yourself exclusive with somebody? So are you the type that, you know, you would date one girl at a time, like, you know, take your energy on one, find one, like, you know, then if that doesn't work out, then you find another girl to kind of court or whatever? Or were you, when you were back in your dating days, were you the guy that kind of had balancing a few balls, juggling at, you know, all at once and then deciding if you wanted to be exclusive with one? But what was kind of that thing that made you know you wanted to be exclusive or make a decision?
Yeah, that game changer, that X factor.
To be honest with you, a lot of people thought, you know, I was some type of like doe-eyed dreamer because I just had one woman at a time.
Oh.
And the reason why I had one woman at a time is because the aptitude, like, I'm a very intense person, but I cannot give a level of attention and intensity to, you know, say like three women. And I don't have, it's not that I'm stupid. It's just nothing that I can handle. I can handle one person and I feel like you're almost splitting up your attention to other people and you're losing, they're getting a sample. They're just getting a sample size of what you are. They're not getting like a real good feel, and you're probably diluting yourself too.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Trust me. Like growing up, I kind of felt the same way. I'm not gonna lie. I have been the woman to have like three guys in rotation, and I remember telling you this one day. I was just like, girl, I need to drop one. This is too much work. I can't. Yeah. I'm like, between all these guys and a full-time job and school, like, I can't. And then I just kind of dropped off and it was like, one at a time. Maybe like two guys might be in my inbox at one time and I'll pick one and be like, okay.
It was easier for me to be single than to do, to handle that. And it's, I tell people it's a lot different now that I got a few years under my hat, you know, ba-dum-bum-ching. the thing is that I know a lot of other guys that if the people knew that it was casual and you can hold them to their word and say, make sure they know, and there's ways to word it. I'm a little less versed than they are, but to make sure these people know that this is just casual. And the other guys I know are, yeah, they'll run into somebody who doesn't get like their position, and they get hooked and they grow on the person, their expectations grow. Mm-hmm. And I know guys that can juggle. It's just, I feel like that I don't have like the time and the depth to deal with it. Do I understand it? Do I know when somebody's exclusive? I think you get a feel for it, but as I've gotten older, the way that I see relationships and, you know, intersexual dynamics, I was like, I would never make the assumption. I was like making that assumption about the woman I'm with until you're like real down to heart, you know, a down to heart type discussion, and not this check yes or no or cheesy. I'm a heavy metal fan, but like cheesy country music. Like, no, it's not like that. Yeah. But you would literally need to like grab each other and word it that way. And I don't mean after you're done doing the horizontal tango there. I meant like when you get together and when you're not clouded by those, by the, not the hormones, but all the chemicals racing through your body. And you have to, I'm a very matter of fact person. And I know if I'll tell you something's not right, I'll tell you if something's good. And I am a little more floral with my language sometimes? Sure. But the bad part is yes, a lot of guys don't know to just spell things out and say, hey, no, this is not working.
Yeah. Well, okay. We're almost towards the end of our time, but I really want to ask this question because you brought it up from the very beginning. I was very curious. You mentioned on your podcast that you occasionally talk about men's issues. So what is, I guess, a recent male issue that you think is prevalent going on right now?
It's very testy. And the legal issues behind the Bill Cosby trial. It's not the accusations or what we saw in the news. It was a lot of the prevailing legal issues that we didn't see. Right. And it's procedural issues. The district attorney, like a deal with the district attorney, they didn't uphold, which is illegal in their state.
Yeah.
Testimony that there's certain testimony that in court, I'm going to say like a guideline, like what kind of testimony can be put together to begin with, depending on the state you're in.
Okay.
And the irony behind the Bill Cosby case, not the accusations, the accusations on paper, very egregious, by the way, as a man, and a lot of people, I'm going to get flack because somebody says, oh, you sound like a tradcon, a traditional conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked greasy. I'm not even talking about the legal issues. It just looks greasy that you would have women around you that have to get dosed up to go screw around. Okay. And I'm one of those people that says, it's not enthusiastic consent. That's the irony. I hear that enthusiastic consent, and it's worth talking about. But for me, if somebody, you don't have the mental capacity to notice that a woman is not giving you her best without drugs or alcohol, and this isn't just sex, but interactions and stuff like that, you don't need her in your life. And I'm just one of those people. I I don't like, I'm one of those people, I don't like drunk women at a bar. As much as I've been around them and they're the ones trying to drag me out the door with them. And I just one of those people who I'm a matter of fact, without an altered state, be who you are. And if there's something inside of you that's screaming to get out, you fight and let that out.
I agree with that.
I would say that about just Hildy. If you said, you know, you're a stupid ass and I hate guys with horseshoe mustaches and rednecks and you're ignorant and don't know what you're talking about, I would rather you come out and say that than just smiling and say, oh, that's the best guess ever. I hope you would. Yeah.
Yeah, to keep the honesty. Well, okay, just to briefly talk about that technicality, because the reason why he was released from prison was because the testimony that the prosecutor used to indict him on criminal charges was protected. I think, I'm not versed on my amendments, but I believe it was the Fifth Amendment, the one to self-incriminate. And because that amendment was violated was like why they had to uphold the deal of the previous prosecutor and why he was therefore released.
That's but great.
It is. And it's just, I guess that was probably their only evidence that they had against him. Because my question I'm left with is with, like, you know, 60 some odd accusations, why and how is there not any other possible evidence aside, like, that they could have used to incriminate him aside from this questionable tactic, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so. I'm sorry, okay, keep going if you have
a comment on that. I'm done.
I was going to say really quick, you brought up that beard, because I literally, my next question was that beard though. Sorry to pivot from Bill Cosby, but that beard you got there, like, do you find that women love the beard? Are you getting pure action? And if you are, is it women in their 30s, women in their 20s? Because me, when I was like in my 20s, I didn't care for facial hair. When I hit my 30s, I'm like, I need a man. Like, I need hair.
Really?
I need a beard. I want to hang off of it, Tarzan on it. I don't care. Swing from the vine. Like, I love it. So
I was the opposite.
What beard
action? I always loved a beard.
There's hope for me yet. No. It started as a joke. The horseshoe mustache, it actually started as a joke. And this was 10 years ago. I had worked at a shop not far from where I work now, ironic. And I had a beard and I was trimming it up and I basically took off too much and had to try and clean it up. And the person I was with came by and said, leave it like that. And I had this for probably 2 years then. And everybody, of course, everybody gets a joke about it. They call it butt duster and stuff like that. So I had to shave it for wearing respirators when I went to firefighter training and stuff like that. And the irony is that when I actually got to grow facial hair again, I just grew this back. And there's people who still run into me and they're like, they couldn't even recognize me. But I was told, I was looking for a new hat and somebody said, why don't you just buy a cowboy hat? And I did. But the mustache, do like response wise, yes, I think most just people in general, I had a woman tell me, you know, in earnest conversation, she said, you'd be surprised how many, you know, men in their 20s that have just scraggly patches of hair on their face. And I told her I grew up with Magnum P.I., Tom Selleck, Mr. Yeah. Baseball. And I'm trying to think of somebody else that had always had the good push broom. We call that the lip caterpillar and the push broom. Yeah. Sam Elliott. If y'all know who Sam Elliott is.
I know.
And always known for that mustache. And the lady told me, she was like, it's nice to see men with facial hair. And I was like, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, my last question before we wrap up, I'm going to keep it in, within the beard. Because I find that sometimes a lot of men are very self-conscious without their facial hair. They feel like it gives them a baby face. They look immature, or they don't like, I guess, their facial features without it. Are you a man that's more like you're comfortable with or without the mustache, but the mustache is just something that's quintessential, iconic Matt now?
Facial hair, even the Oak Ridge Boy beard I had at one time, yeah, it was a part of me, but I have enough chin, and yes, I have a chin and a jawline. I feel like I prefer to have facial hair. I survive without it. I don't think that I've been told I have enough of a jaw that I look okay, and it's really not that much of a challenge, but...
Well, yes, it. You definitely give off the Samity Sam vibes.
No.
Like, you've got the low...
He's like, not Samity Sam!
Oh, I hear the low voice, like, where, rabbit? You come over here. Like, I love it. I'm like, he's got that character.
Sure fire.
Well, I'd hate to wrap up so soon, but we have reached our time. So yes, thank you so much, Matt Free. Matt, can you just quickly let our viewers know where they can find you to hear more about your podcast? If you got any events coming up or anything special, let us know. And we'd love to hear like more about you, you know?
Folks, I'm on YouTube. If you search for Matt, M-A-T-T, and then you put F-R-E-E-M-A-T-T, it's a joke. It's Matt Freemat. You can find me on there. I've got videos. I usually have links to the website and the whole nine yards. It's something I do for fun. Nothing serious. I do have an email address on there, and I'll even say it out loud. It's Freemat Podcast. That's free, M-A-T-T, podcast, at gmail.com. I don't care if you send hate email, tell me jokes, whatever. I hope it makes you feel better.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, having this wonderful conversation. It's been amazing talking to you, and we definitely would love to connect with you in the future. Again, I'm one half of your co-host, Ola Miss Lola. You can find me on Instagram at ola.miss.lola. And you can find the podcast itself at This Black Girl Podcast. We are on and available on all streaming platforms.
Yes, thank you so much again. And we hope you have a wonderful day. And again, I am at The Hill Diva on IG. And we're similar to you, Matt, because we love getting hate mail. We just say if anyone likes what they heard, if you didn't like what you heard, send it to us at This Black Girl Podcast. We like to take all that smoke, bring it, because we love it. We just love it. So same thing here. Bring all that smoke. If you heard anything you didn't like, we'll talk about it. It's more, it's just more fuel for the fire for us, you know? So definitely thanks for coming. Everybody have a wonderful day with whatever more you got going on. And we'll definitely catch up again. Bye.
Bye.